Welcome to WHRO's Weekly Edition. I'm Jordan Christie.
And I'm Barry Graham.
We highlight the week's news and stories happening all over Hampton Roads. It's the last Friday in April, and we're coming at you with some great stories. Harbor seals are flocking to Hampton Roads, but scientists can't quite figure out why. We'll dive into those details.
The fourth director in 2 years has taken over at the Hampton VA, and this is amidst a rocky situation that saw the VA eliminate more vacant positions than any other VA in the country.
And thousands of people in Virginia are actively awaiting transplants, but many of them are unaware how donations actually are sorted and assigned to patients. It's WHRO's Weekly Edition. Mussels are popping up all over Virginia Beach shorelines. WHRO's Katherine Hafner dug into the dirt to find out what positive impacts the mollusks are having on the waterbeds.
Gentle waves lap along a shoreline in Lynn Haven Bay as Brent James walks through the muck of low tide. He stoops to marsh grasses along the shoreline, fronted by clumps of muddy mollusks.
And you can just see that the mussels are just by the bazillions. They're just all woven in there, and that's the best thing in the world.
James, with the nonprofit Lynn Haven River Now, says you'd be hard-pressed to find mussels in the area just a few years ago. Now, they're exploding. He says restoration groups have focused on rebuilding oysters, but mussels are taking off without human help. Together, they're powerhouses for cleaning the river.
They work in conjunction with the oysters. They're like little partners, little cousins, and are just doing their thing out here.
He says it's good news for waterfront homeowners because mussels slow erosion by stabilizing shore grasses. Katherine Hafner, WHRO News.
Thousands in Virginia are waiting for organ transplants, but many don't know how donations actually get to recipients. WHRO's Yiqing Wang has more from the company that makes it happen.
LifeNet Health is the sole organ procurement organization in Virginia. It works with more than 80 hospitals nationwide to coordinate organ and tissue donations. Doug Wilson with LifeNet says once a patient is declared dead, the hospital steps back. LifeNet takes over, managing the donor and working with transplant teams, sometimes across state lines and even national borders.
It's generally not a pleasant time in the family's life together, and it's our responsibility to care for them, be extremely transparent about what their opportunities are, how they can help people, and then to medically and clinically facilitate the logistics of the donation and then ultimately the transplantation.
Wilson says the organization handled more than 700 organ transplants last year. Yiqing Wang, WHRO News.
Virginia Beach won an initial court challenge to a temporary all-ages curfew meant to address crowds and recent violence. WHRO's John Doucette has the latest from the ongoing saga.
Oceanfront resident Lisa Lawrence wanted to block the curfew for part of the oceanfront. She lives near the zone where a 9:30 p.m. curfew is scheduled to occur one more time on Friday. It was in effect this past weekend, and on Tuesday, Lawrence testified it meant she couldn't travel freely to the beach. Her filing says Virginia Beach overstepped what state law allows. Circuit Court Chief Judge Tanya Felton didn't grant a temporary restraining order. She found Lawrence didn't have standing. Deputy City Attorney Chris Boynton says there are many reasons the curfew should proceed.
This was the basis that the court chose, and we're thankful, and we're moving on to round two on Thursday.
That's when a hearing is scheduled with another curfew challenge. This one's with oceanfront businesses within the zone. John Doucette, WHRO News.
Virginians have voted to redraw congressional maps, which will favor Democrats. It's been a six-month dash of legislating and campaigning, and as Chad Khalil with Partner Station VPM reports, the courts still need to weigh in.
At a brewery in Henrico, a group called Dudes for Democrats was watching results come in on Virginia's redistricting referendum. Then the election was called for yes. It's likely the closing act for Democrats nationwide against the gerrymandering push that President Trump kicked off last summer. It means that Virginia could swap out four of its Republican congressmen for Democrats. In a statement, Speaker of the House Don Scott said Virginians sent a message to Trump. House Minority Leader Terry Kilgore said the process was stacked against the no campaign from the start and that courts would have the last word. There are pending court cases that could nullify the redrawn maps. The Supreme Court of Virginia has yet to set a hearing date. Jad Khalil, VPM News.
Large animal veterinarians are in drastically short supply in rural areas across Virginia.
But Dr. Melinda McCall has been a community staple for farmers, ranchers, and homesteaders across central Virginia for more than two decades. Christine Cuter with partner station WVTF reports.
And a warning, there's a bit of coarse language in this one.
Separate a calf from its mother, and you'll hear about it.
So they're lactating still, so they're a little bit pissed off because, like, their babies are getting kidnapped just for a minute, like, while we work them, and then they get put back together. So once we finish, you won't hear a peep, not a peep.
It's a freezing cold morning at Mount Ida Farm in Albemarle County, home to 130 mother cows and just as many babies. Chaps wearing farmhands channel uncertain heifers into a holding pen, where McCall and veterinary assistant Becca Ritchie poke them with vaccines, sprinkle them with dewormer, and check their hindquarters.
She's pregnant. She's about 2.5.
It takes less than 2 minutes per animal, and McCall and Ritchie are pink-cheeked from the effort.
9 times out of 10, they don't kick when you're in their rectum. I just touch and I'm like, I'm here? And they're like, okay. So it's not such a like, boom, that would be, nobody would want that. Your baby's coming.
Agriculture is Virginia's largest private industry. Cattle sales and dairy products are Virginia's second and fourth biggest farm commodities. But large animal veterinarians who tend the food supply, like McCall, are a dying breed. Since 1945, the U.S. has lost 90% of its large animal veterinarians. Of the roughly 133,000 American vets today, just over 3%, about 4,000, work with production animals like McCall does. More than half of McCall's patients are cattle. The rest are sheep, goats, llamas, alpacas, and the occasional hot-tempered pot-bellied pig and agritourism mini-cow. In addition to primary care, McCall treats injuries and infections, does artificial insemination, prescribes and oversees medication, including antibiotics, and educates farmers and veterinary students. She also helps laboring animals, like 36 of Fluvanna County homesteaders' overpregnant sheep, who's stamping uncomfortably in her pen.
It's she's just not quite dilated yet enough to bring it out of there right now. I think we're going to have to just induce her that or do a C-section on her.
In Virginia, recent legislation provided four $110,000 grants to large animal veterinarians who work in rural areas. Federal vet school loan repayment and state pipeline programs help too, but the jobs challenges keep many away.
All animals, of course, like all humans, don't necessarily get sick, between 9 and 5.
Virginia State veterinarian Charlie Broaddus works for the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
I don't know any large animal veterinarians that haven't gotten hurt throughout their practice career. It's an issue of wearing out knees and shoulders over a long period of time, as well as the, just the emergency thing that you just never know what's going to happen with, a crazy cow or a horse may just bump into the veterinarian that's right next to it and knock somebody down and can get very badly hurt.
McCall has broken bones in her fingers to her feet and injured her spine and skull.
I think you have to work up to the physicality of this job. People think of the gee whiz injuries you can get, but most of the time, it's the day-to-day little things that the wear and tear on your body that it creates.
While 84% of veterinary medicine students are now women, many farmers still expect large animal vets to be men.
I always laugh at the men who are standing there waiting on the guy to come, and you're like, what if I said no guy's going to come? What if I said there aren't any guys left to come? Even if that's what you wanted, you couldn't even get that. And they don't know what to say then.
After giving 36 a shot to help start contractions, McCall clambers back into her pickup truck with Ritchie, where they'll tabulate the bill, take calls, send texts, and tick off another mile in the 50,000 they'll travel together this year. Reporting from Louisa, I'm Christine Cuter.
Still ahead on Weekly Edition, a new website is making hospital prices more transparent for Hampton Roads residents. But first, the fourth director in 2 years has taken over at the Hampton VA. WHRO's Steve Walsh details the new director's credentials and the revolving door of leadership that led to this moment.
Shane Soto took over as interim director at Hampton at the end of March, according to the VA. Soto came from the VA in San Antonio, Texas. It has been a game of musical chairs for the top spots at the local VA since Director Toshiqua Simmons was removed in 2024 after a series of blistering Inspector General's reports. She was replaced by Interim Director Walt Dannenberg, who returned to the Long Beach, California VA in 2025. He was replaced by Michael Harper, the Director of Operations at Hampton. According to the VA, Harper retired in March to take a job in the private sector. Currently, all of the top officials at the Hampton VA are temporary appointments. Steve Walsh, WHRO News.
The new director will be taking over the Hampton VA as it enters a precarious situation following the elimination of additional vacant positions between November and January. The position cuts were more than any other Veterans Affairs facility in the country. The medical center in the Phoebus section of the city is the only full VA hospital in Hampton Roads, and according to federal data, just over 730 vacancies were eliminated, with cuts including physicians, nurses, and mental health service workers. In December, a leaked memo indicated that the Department of Veterans Affairs had plans to eliminate 35,000 health care positions. The Hampton Center has struggled with staffing shortages and leadership turnover in recent years, with former director Takisa Simmons reassigned in August 2024 after a scathing report by the Office of Inspector General characterized the center with mismanagement. Since then, three additional heads have run the facility.
More than 200 bird species stop in the Great Dismal Swamp National Wildlife Refuge each spring as they migrate north. WHRO's Katherine Hafner recently joined a walk to try to see some.
It's a cool but humid morning shortly after dawn as a couple dozen people swat at mosquitoes and set out along a walking path. Laura May is an avid birder and organizer of the swamp walks.
So we're talking in soft voices and we're checking the canal looking for prothonotary warblers. Just heard a great crested flycatcher in the top of the trees.
Before even leaving the parking lot, she hears the hoot of a barred owl. Over the next couple hours, the group caught sight of many birds, including a red-headed woodpecker, and finally, a brief glimpse of the bright yellow prothonotary warbler as it zoomed past.
Hey, there's a prothonotary right there flying.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
They also saw some snakes curled among the bushes. Katherine Hafner, WHRO News.
Some veterans may face a harder time receiving federal food assistance. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act that Congress passed last year toughens work requirements for veterans who apply for SNAP benefits. From Fairbanks, Alaska, Shelby Herbert reports for the American Homefront Project.
Ashley Edgington is the volunteer coordinator for Meals on Wheels in Fairbanks. But on a particularly cold morning, and we're talking negative 30s, she's making the deliveries herself.
You're going to also be driving in immense ice fog today. Just take it slow and steady.
Alaska has some of the highest food prices in America. It's also home to the highest share of veterans. And for many of them, those two facts collide at the checkout line. There are several food insecure veterans on Edgington's delivery list today. But she says, as a group, they can be really hard to reach.
That population specifically, you have to be one of them. You know, I go stock materials at the VFW hall or the VA clinics.
Part of Edgington's job is connecting her food insecure clients with assistance programs they can apply for, like the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. But she says that's out of reach for many. Alaska is experiencing an administrative backlog for SNAP applications.
We've had people who perfectly qualify because maybe their income was zero, but you have months and months and months and months of delay.
And there's another barrier on the horizon. Veterans used to be exempt from the program's work requirements, but the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, passed by Congress last year, removes that exemption. Most SNAP recipients, including veterans, will have to work, volunteer, or study at least 80 hours a month, unless they're pregnant, responsible for a dependent child, or have a documented disability. Nationally, about 8% of veterans participate in SNAP, according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. While 1 in 5 veterans experience food insecurity, many do not claim those benefits. And Platanino says the able-bodied designation might not account for veterans with disabilities that are harder to see.
There's some of them, depending when they serve, that they do come with certain physical or mental disabilities. And those necessarily are not as easily documented or as easily able for them to be exempted.
Under the new law, people who don't qualify for an exemption can receive SNAP for only 3 months out of a 3-year period. In some states, those 3 months are already expiring for veterans. Congressman Glenn Thompson, a Pennsylvania Republican, chairs the House Committee on Agriculture. At a December meeting, he defended the part of the law that removes work requirement waivers for many veterans.
If you're coming out of the military and you don't have a disability, and I mean, I just find that someone that's going from active duty status to veterans, they want to work.
Back in Fairbanks, Edgington comes to a stop at one of the last homes on her route. It belongs to an elderly veteran and his wife who signed up for Meals on Wheels because the food bank is too far away from them to safely drive on the frozen roads.
They have to drive a 35-mile drive, and the husband's on oxygen, so there's a lot of barriers and layers there.
She says she doesn't know what the future holds with the new law, but she urges veterans facing food insecurity to not give up hope and to reach out to local and regional nonprofits for help. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
People in Norfolk lined the streets for the NATO festival and parade last week. WHRO's Steve Walsh says that it comes despite continued criticism of NATO from the Trump administration.
It's the longest-running festival in Norfolk, dating back to NATO's arrival in the early 1950s. Supporters say the organization remains as popular as ever, even though a day earlier, President Trump again called NATO useless during a speech in Arizona. Megan Vega of Hampton came to the festival with her 4-year-old son.
It makes me want to participate in something like this even more. I went over to the Ukraine tent earlier, and I was really fascinated. I found myself kind of wanting to engage because my heart just goes out to those people.
A recent Pew poll shows most Americans value the alliance, though support among Republicans has plummeted in the last year. Representatives from the 32 NATO countries say Norfolk remains welcoming. Steve Walsh, WHRO News.
May Pang brings a photography exhibition to Virginia Beach this weekend, April 24th through the 26th. That's sure to spark memories for many John Lennon fans. WHRO's Denise Watson tells us more.
It was called the Lost Weekend, yet it lasted 18 months. In the early 1970s, John Lennon's wife, Yoko Ono, set up her husband with their 23-year-old assistant, May Pang. It was a wild ride for Pang, who took hundreds of snapshots that show a more casual side of Lennon. Those photos will be on sale at the Stravitz Sculpture and Fine Arts Gallery, and Pang will be there too, from Friday until Sunday. Pang never dreamed that she'd wind up as Lennon's romantic companion when she talked her way into her first job in 1970.
It was a magical time. It really was. It was magical because it was, how do you explain things that just fell into my path? I didn't seek it. It sought me out.
Exhibition includes the last photo of Lennon and Paul McCartney and the only photo of Lennon signing the document to dissolve the Beatles. Denise Watson, WHRO News.
Freelance writer Vicki L. Friedman contributed to this report.
A new website is making hospital prices more transparent in Hampton Roads. WHRO's Yiching Wang breaks down how it could make payments easier for residents.
On hospitalcost.com, users can compare costs across hospitals in Virginia and North Carolina, including cash prices, insurance rates, and estimated out-of-pocket spending. It also lists quality measures like infection rates. Richard Callahan, a Virginia Beach computer engineer, built the tool to help patients make more informed decisions before scheduling care. He says the pricing pattern in Hampton Roads looks different from Northern Virginia, where more hospital systems compete.
Because there is that concentration where Sentara have, 10 hospitals in Hampton Roads. So all the prices are pretty much identical, so there's no price shopping leverage.
Callahan says some may need to look outside the region for cheaper options. Yiching Wang, WHRO News.
Scientists at Christopher Newport University are investigating a marine mystery. Why are harbor seals flocking to Hampton Roads? WHRO's Catherine Hefner waded into the murky waters to find out.
It's a blustery afternoon as Lindsay Johnson and Rick Sherwin carefully walk around the concrete islands of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. Johnson is an environmental science student at Christopher Newport University, and Sherwin is her professor. They're looking down to the rocky outcrops beneath the bridge, currently pummeled by strong waves, searching for harbor seals.
They can get, like, hidden to the cracks, kinda, so it's hard to see from certain angles.
More than an hour goes by with no luck. Then they see a silvery flash in the water. Rounding the corner, a dark speck appears on the horizon, then a few more.
One sticking his nose up right there, his head's out of the water.
They're seals, calmly bouncing in the bay.
They kind of bob around like bowling pins.
This trip to the bridge tunnel is part of a years-long project to learn more about harbor seals in Hampton Roads. Harbor seals started consistently coming here during winter a few decades ago, but their numbers have grown in recent years. Professor Sherwin says scientists don't really know why.
This is a new phenomenon. It's relatively consistent now. The numbers continue to climb, and they reliably use the same places.
The research project began several years ago with Michelle Bordeaux, then a master's student at CNU, interning with the Navy's Marine Mammal Program. The Navy was interested in monitoring how harbor seals move near its many bases and training facilities in Hampton Roads. Officials tagged some seals and set up infrared cameras to watch them. Bordeaux says she got curious about the animals' behavior, like what they do at night.
There's all sorts of questions that are unknowns about what the seals are doing here.
Atlantic harbor seals are adapted for cold water. They breed up in Canada and Maine and migrate south to New England for winter. But more have been coming farther south to the Chesapeake Bay. They haul out, or lounge, on eastern shore beaches and rocks around the bridge tunnel. Sometimes they foray down to Virginia Beach. Scientists have plenty of theories about why this is happening, like harbor seals being driven south by competition with gray seals, which sometimes eat their pups. Sherwin says climate change is likely a big factor, but it's not clear exactly how. Theoretically, warming temperatures would drive seals north, but maybe they're testing and expanding their limits.
When things change a lot and change quickly, it does provide new opportunities as well as challenges. And so this may be related to climates changing, but allowing animals a small number to do something that's different from what they did historically.
Bordeaux suspects sea level rise could also play a role by swamping some of the shoreline that seals use to rest. She says the best way to figure out what's going on is
just continue monitoring them and just observe patterns over long periods of time.
That's where Johnson comes in. She's taking over the research and starting to incorporate a citizen science approach. That's partly because the Navy's monitoring cameras are going away because of budget cuts. Johnson wants to collect anecdotes from people out on the water, like anglers and boat tour operators.
That will help get a better idea of where the seals are in the water and where they're going when they're not resting on land.
No matter the reason, it's a good thing to see harbor seals. They like clean water with plenty of food, and they seem to love it here. Catherine Hefner, WHRO News.
You've been listening to WHRO's Weekly Edition. We had help today from WHRO's John Doucette, Vicki L. Friedman, Catherine Hefner, Steve Walsh, Yiching Wang, and Denise Watson.
VPN's Chad Khalil, WVTF's Christine Cuter, and Shelby Herbert with the American Homefront Project. Also, Connor Worley, who produced today's show.
A reminder that you can always catch full episodes on the Weekly Edition podcast feed.
You can get your news updates at WHRO.org and the WHRO Reports podcast feed. For all of us at WHRO and WHRV, I'm Barry Graham.
And I'm Jordan Christie. Have a great weekend.